That is because our lives are like puzzles. God has given us He's given us the puzzle of our life. And it's like when you're put into your mother's womb, there's this picture God has intended for you. Your destiny of who you are, your character, and everything about you is in this package. He places you in your mother's womb, and you're born. And here's the amazing thing. God doesn't put your puzzle together. You know that? God doesn't put your puzzle together. He gives you the opportunity to put your puzzle together, for you to make the choices in your life, to make the picture of what God intended it to be. But here's the thing. You don't know what the picture looks like on the top of the box, right? Who am I supposed to be? What's my identity? What kind of character am I supposed to have? How do I find that out? I draw into a relationship with a Father that knows the picture. That's right. And when you begin to read the Word and you draw into that relationship with Him, He reveals your character, He reveals your identity, and He reveals who you are supposed to be in the kingdom. The enemy does not want you to know who you are in the kingdom. He does not want you to know your identity. Why is that? Because if you know your identity, you can kick him out of every life that you come in contact with. You have the authority because Christ died on the cross and rose again, and His Spirit lives inside you. You have the authority because God gave you that right. But when we get into a drought, which is what the enemy wants you to be in, he wants you to be in a drought so you are destitute for water. You are destitute for knowledge. You are destitute for something to fill that void. And so many people go and search different areas of their life, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is. They go and fill that void with whatever they need to make that dryness go away. And all in all they needed was the Lord to reveal who you are, to reveal your identity. And you know what else? Everything from that comes out of that brings the perfect picture that God intended for you to be. One day, like Ruth, there's a puzzle left on the table. Last I was over there when she was still in her home, there was a puzzle still left on the table. She's put her last puzzle together. The puzzle of Ruth's life is over. Her picture is done. Her choices and decisions make up that picture. What's your puzzle look like today? The thing is God can restore it back to its original picture on the box if you just engage with Him and get to know who you are. Like I said, the enemy will try to dam up the water flow from your life. He will try to divert it away from your heart, cause dryness in your spirit, and cause you to turn away. Some of you here and some of you online right now are turning away from the Father. You're turning away from Him. You're drawing away from Him. Even though you have water to sustain you, Ahab watered to sustain him for 3 years. The brooks were still flowing. And now they were drying up. There was hardly nothing left. Now it's time to go search. How long will it take for you to search for water in your life when you can get it right here today? In Judges 2, 11 and 15, we'll just turn there real quick. Did I give you that scripture? All right. In Judges 2:11, it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. And they forsake the Lord, God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of and from all among the gods of the people." Out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsake the Lord and serve Baal and the Asherahs. What did God do? He let them have their way for a while, for a time. He let them go into their indulgences. It let them go into their choices. Drought hit their spiritual flesh. Drought hit them. And then what does God have to do? He begins to bring judges into the land to bring them back, to bring them back to a place. See, that's what God's doing today. If you're in a drought, he's trying to bring you back into the place of refreshing. Here's something for you. If I wrote this down, it says, if you are still living in yesterday's testimony, are you living in the rain? If you're still living in yesterday's testimony, you're probably in a spiritual drought. Do you get that? If you're living in yesterday's testimony, if I keep talking about what God did to my life 10 years ago, and I don't ever talk about what God did in my life yesterday, or I don't talk what God did in my life a week ago, I'm drought. I'm in a drought place. I'm in a place of drought. But I can give a testimony because a guy is sitting right back there. I'm going to point you out, Michael. A guy is chasing after God's heart. He gets saved on the manufacturing floor of Ambuset. That's a testimony right there. Not my testimony, but that's your testimony. It's all it takes. Simple. I guarantee he's not in a drought right now. He's in the flood. So here's the thing. Are you committed in your drought? Are you committed in your drought? Are you going to go searching in other water holes to find something else that you need to supply your need? Or are you going to open up the Word of God and you're going to read and you're going to say, God, forgive me. I repent for the things I've been doing, God. And then all of a sudden something begins to happen. Number two, fire. Fire is a material that is in a state of burning that produces flames that sends out heat and light. Pretty simple, right? The fire of the Lord brings rapid change. The fire of the Lord brings rapid change. 1 Kings 18 through 39. First Kings 18, 38 and 39. And it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And then Elijah tells them, take the prophets of Baal, take them down to the mountain, down to the brook Kidron, and I want you to slaughter each one of them. We're going to slaughter each one of them. And Elijah slaughtered every one of them. They made a change. They made a choice, a drastic change when the fire of God fell from heaven. The fire of God burns up everything. It burns it all up. See, when you're in a drought, fire is very likely, should I say. Right? We see drought in California all the time. We see drought in those areas. One little spark. Don't smoke out there. Don't throw your cigarettes out, right? None of you smoke in here, right? There is no drought in here. If you would just, one little spark causes a forest fire, causes thousands and thousands of acres to burn. That's what happens in a drought. So if you're in a drought today, God wants to come in with the fire and burn up all the stuff that is in you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to quit hardening your heart. He wants you to depend on the Spirit that is inside of you. The fire of God will burn out the iniquity in you and everything we put before the Lord. He will burn it all up. Deuteronomy 4:23 says in 24, take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and make yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And that's what I wanted to get to. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. He's not happy if you're chasing after other things. He's not happy if you're chasing after things that he didn't want you to chase after. Are you willing to let the Lord burn out the chaff in your life? Your hatred, your jealousy, your idols, anything we place in him? Are we willing to allow the Lord to burn those things out, our desires that we have in our flesh? Our desires, not his desires. It's good to want things. It's good to want a nice house. It's good to want those things. God never said, no, I just want you to be poor. He never said that. We're not living in a prosperity gospel either. But I know that God will lay blessings on my life if I live my life like I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to be satisfied in the goodness of God. Satisfied. Are you committed in the fire when God is burning those things up in your life? The third thing is rain. Moisture condensed from the atmosphere that falls visibly in separate drops. I guess I'm going to read 18, 1 Kings 18 and 41 to 46. You got that on the screen? I got it. 18, 41 to 46. And it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Before he even went up to Mount Carmel, before he even went up and seen the cloud, he told Ahab, now, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees in a birthing position. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again, go again, go again, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time, and he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up unto Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and the wind, and there was a heavy rain, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Do we all know what happens when rain follows a drought? What happens when rain follows a drought? Flash floods. Flash floods happen when rain follows a drought. He said, go up. Before he even went up to the Mount Carmel, he said, Ahab, you need to go and eat. You need to go get prepared because rain is coming. Now, I don't know what Ahab thought. I don't know what Jezebel thought. But Jezebel was mad because he killed the prophets of Baal. She was all upset and she wanted to kill Elijah. But here's what we do know. He said, go up because there's rain coming. I haven't seen it yet, but there's rain coming. On the proclamation, Elijah said, "When it will rain when I proclaim it." That's what he said. And so he goes up, sits on Mount Carmel, birthing position. He didn't even look out to the sea. He had a servant look to the sea. And he said, is it going to rain? Do you see anything yet? Do you see anything yet? Seven times, on the seventh time, he said, I see something. It's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Do you know what size that is? He said, now, go tell Ahab. It's going to rain. So when the rain comes, the flash flood comes because water, the ground is so hard, it cannot absorb the rain. So it flash floods everything and washes everything away. So Mount Carmel, up on a hill. Everything is going to rush down to the Kidron Valley where the prophets of Baal were slain. It's going to wash the prophets of Baal all the way to the ocean. Everything in your life, when the rain comes, it will wash away the junk that you've been living in. When the rain comes, God will provide a way for everything to be washed away from your life. You have to allow God to let that fire burn. It takes all the stuff up. Yeah, there's ashes are left. God will take that rain and wash him out of your life. He wants to change everything about us. Psalms 72 and 6 says, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers the water and that water the earth. In Isaiah 45 and 8, it says, rain down your heavens from above and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. In Hosea 6, 1 through 3, it says, come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn. He will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is establishing as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. See, the rain of the Holy Spirit brings refreshing, it brings vigor, it brings excitement. The rain of God does not destroy, but brings life. The rain of God will not destroy. So many times we see the floods in the natural, and they destroy houses. They destroy so much stuff. But the spiritual rain that God rains down brings life into you. It washes those things away that is not supposed to be there, that you have placed in there. And see, the thing is we as Christians, is everybody a believer in this house today? Is there anyone that does not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior today? Amen. Everybody's a believer. So that means you've confessed the Lord with your mouth, you believed in your heart, you are saved. Okay? So that means you can still begin to place other things in your life. You can still have other gods in your life. That's why we see in the deliverance ministry, we see Christians. Everyone that came in here on Friday and Saturday night, I would say 98% of them were Christians. I didn't know them, so I can't say yes or no. But what I do know is they were Christians. And they had demonic spirits in them, in their flesh. Not in their spirit, not in their soul, where the Holy Spirit resides. But it was in their flesh, causing sickness and disease, causing all kinds of things in their life. And what that demonic spirit will do, I think Carrie sent out a picture on Facebook. I don't know if you guys seen it, but it was a chain. He said, if the devil gave you a chain, would you accept it? And you wouldn't take a chain to be weighted down with. You wouldn't want to carry a chain around, right? But what we will do is we will take the link. We will pick up the link. And then that's all Satan wants to do, because he's got a lifetime. He's got your lifetime, Chris. He's got your lifetime to destroy you. He don't have to hand you the full chain. All he has to do is hand you the link. And then all you have to do is make a decision. You know what? That wasn't so bad. I think I'll try it again. Now I link on again. Oh, you know what? That ain't so bad. Let's link on again. And then all of a sudden, over a course of 10 to 15 years, maybe it's a course of a year, you're carrying around this weight. You're carrying around this chain. What's happening to your life? I guarantee you're not living in the rain. You cannot live in the enemy's camp and live in the victor's camp at the same time. You cannot do it. You're either in the enemy's camp or you're in the victor's camp. If you're carrying around a chain today of addiction, if you're carrying around a chain today of pornography, if you're carrying around a chain of a pharmaceutical spirit, of drugs or whatever it is, whatever chain you're carrying around, oppressed, depressed, it doesn't matter. That's a chain that's weighting you down. If you wake up in the morning and you can't go on today without taking a pill, anxiety, all that stuff, that's a weight and a chain that the enemy has placed in your life. Somehow you've accepted it. Somehow you picked up that link, not the whole chain, but you picked up the link. And then it links together and links together and links together and links together. And eventually you're dragging around a 20-foot chain. You can't jump up and worship the Lord. You can't jump up and do anything for the Lord, because you're dragging this chain, this weight. Oh, I got to go to church. I need to go to church because I just need to feel the presence of God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But you need to break the chain off of you. And that's simple to do. So as we close today, you're either living in the drought, you're either living in the fire, And basically, God is beginning. You're saying, God, I want. I'm repenting. I'm giving everything up, God, today. I want to turn my life around. I need you to have the fire of God just burn in me. Here I am. I'm open. I'm open, God. Everything laid out before me. Burn the chaff in my life. And then, God, I want you to send the rain. I want you to send the rain in my spirit so I can be refreshed, revived with vigor and excitement in you. So I'm going to take a few minutes. I won't labor this, okay, because you have a choice. You're putting your own puzzle piece together. I'm not going to labor. You either choose or you don't choose. You choose the enemy you choose the wrong things right off the bat. We choose the right things right off the bat. So you're either going to do it or you're not. So I would like to have the altar ministry team come up. Jerry, Menzie, Terrells, and Stellers come up. You got 2 minutes. You want to be set free from the chains and bonds that bind that you're being bound with? You're dealing with drought in your life? It's time to get the rain. It's time to bring the rain. So I'm just going to pray real quick. Father God, all over this room. All over this room right now, Father God, you know. You know who's dealing with things right now. You know who's in the